Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of A Day in the Life of the Happiest Guy. It is a new year. It is 2016, and with it come new possibilities for more amateurish and mediocre podcasting, and of course more amateurish and mediocre writing. My name is Sri. I will be your host and the only person on this show as of now. And you can find out more about me, read more about my work at loveliberationstruggle.wordpress.com. That's loveliberationstruggle.wordpress.com. Now, today's show, I wish to explore in the spirit of continuing this whole notion of like community and loved ones. One of the things that I have been mulling over quite a bit, especially as my awesome warrior goddess of a partner, Seuss, and I enter our gorgeous tryst with parenting. It has just been the most amazing and life-affirming journey so far, and this wonderful child of ours has already given us so much yet to come. Actually, in March, we're waiting with bated breath to meet our new BFF. But as this has happened, it had led me on some rather self-reflective explorations, the kinds of which I have not necessarily done at such a deep level, you know, especially around what it means to uphold responsibilities to family, to community, but equally importantly, how to do so while fighting against patriarchy. The reason is, of course, because so much of this notion of upholding responsibilities, the world over and societies across the world is so couched in very rigid gender roles, in very rigid gender hierarchies, more problematically, and in a nutshell, it's couched in patriarchy. So I think for me, being a self-hating cis male, being a self-hating dude, I have realized, and over the last many, many years, that the fight against internalized patriarchy is so crucial. And especially now when I sort of enter into a new world where suddenly there are, I don't want to say that there are gender roles that I'm unable to escape, but there are certainly, like, society has certainly placed certain roles and responsibilities, right? Like, which include making sure that, like, I have to make sure I have a job and bring in money. And then that's something that, like, me and my partner are committed to, and I want to be as nurturing and as good a father as possible, as good a parent as possible. And so it just has, it has brought the whole fight against internalized patriarchy to a much deeper level, and it has grounded it in very, very strong ways. Not necessarily, and I don't know if I'm necessarily doing the greatest of jobs, but I it's something that I really am keen on exploring and keen on making sure I do as good a job as possible. So with that, having said that, now, make no mistake, right? Like, you know, I do believe that we all have very, very important responsibilities towards our community and family, but as I said, I think it has to begin with the fight against patriarchy, internalize the patriarchy that those of us who fall under cis male gender benefit from, and those who don't sort of face and face oppression from. And I think the best way is to do it in very egalitarian partnership with our loved ones. I say egalitarian partnership because that's really, really sort of crucial, because it makes it easier to prevent sort of regressive sexist frameworks from taking root. So having said that, I have sort of broken it down into, like, and I, as I thought about it some more for this podcast, I broke it down into like six broad entities. And as anyone who has read any of my articles on my blog, by the way, loveliberationstruggle.wordpress.com, garnering a viewership of about in the tens of viewers for every article. So right up there in the upper 5 million, I think, of WordPress blogs. But nevertheless, done with a lot of love and care. And these and so when I think of what it means to uphold responsibilities and fight internalized patriarchy, I think of these. I kind of have broken it down into these six things, and I'd love to know what you all might think of that. Right. So the six entities that I'm thinking of, especially with family and community, and what we need: sustenance, nurturing, joy, because who doesn't need joy, health, and empowerment. And I'll spend about a minute on each. Okay, so let's start with safety. Now, safety is it's very easy to look again fall into like extremely masculine notions of safety, but being a trauma counselor and having done that for a long time, I realized that like one of the most important things that men who wish to like fight internalized patriarchy while still upholding their responsibilities towards loved ones is men have to be safe. Men have to be safe, gentle beings first and foremost, because the overwhelming amount of pain and suffering, and I've said this time and time again in on this podcast and on, in my articles, the overwhelming amount of pain and suffering that is brought upon on this earth is brought about by dudes. Let's face it, all right? Like the hearts, the minds, and the hands of evil, of pain, of suffering are male, are cisgendered men. So I think primarily the first and foremost responsibility is to try our level best to ensure that we are gentle, loving beings, ensuring that, like, at the very least, like, we there are so many aspects of safety that we cannot control, the way society might boil over and things like that. Like, having done human rights work, I've seen that happen in front of my eyes, but there are things in control, right? Like, we as a community and a family, and namely to be safe ourselves, like to ensure that there's an environment of safety for our children, for our more vulnerable members of our community and family. So that's safety, right? I think first and foremost, with safety is for men to be gentle, loving beings. I think that's really, really crucial. It doesn't mean that there aren't stresses. It doesn't mean that there aren't that there aren't like times when like there might be we might face irritability with like the things that we face in our lives, et cetera, et cetera. But that's no excuse for not being a gentle, loving person, right? And, but safety also becomes a lot easier when we have sustenance, which is my second point. Now, with sustenance, this becomes a little trickier because with society, the way it's structured, often there do tend to be sometimes like even in extremely egalitarian partnerships, sometimes there are times when the man, quote unquote, the guy still has to go work, right? Like we need money, we need to sustain ourselves. But that doesn't mean that there it has to fall into like specific rigid gender roles. It just means that there are specific things that need to be done that men need to do in order to like provide for provide in for their families, for communities in as egalitarian ways as possible, right? Like done in egalitarian partnership. If I committed to like working in order to like make sure that like some kind of income is brought in for my family and community, that's just a role that at this particular point in time I am playing in order to make sure that we are able to pay the mortgage and we have food on the table. And it's a role that will be played by someone else in the future, or it'll be played by a bunch of people. And so it's the way it's done rather than what actually is being done. Okay. Then with sustenance, it's not just about sustenance, because we have like, yes, we can have shelter, we can have food, but what about care? What about nurturing, right? Which comes to my third point, nurturing. And this is kind of like similar to safety, but in many ways it's sort of like a step further, which is that men have a distinct responsibility to like really traverse a very steep learning curve when it comes to being nurturing beings. We're like we're not. We live in a patriarchal sexist society where, like, men are cis men are told to be tough and crap like that, and it is a steep learning curve, and we have a responsibility to, like, actually traverse that learning curve with as much grace as possible. Yes, I know it's tough for men to actually, like, conceive of being graceful, but and or having any notion of, like, grace in their souls, but it is crucial. Right, like nurturing beings, being loving beings, being gentle beings. You know, that is, I think, where sort of love hits the road, where the rubber of love hits the road. Right, like, which is, how do we care? How do we ensure that there is a foundation of care for our loved ones? Which means the day to day, ensuring that we do all we can on a day to day basis to ensure that there is a foundation of care and nurturing environment for our loved ones. Okay, we've talked about safety, we've talked about sustenance, we've talked about nurturing, and I'm running out of, like, talk time, so I don't want to miss out on joy. Who doesn't need joy in their lives, right? I don't believe there can be happiness without joy. Joy is crucial. We need to be fun creatures. We need to ensure that, like, joy comes in whenever possible, right? And that means prioritizing it, actually actively prioritizing laughter, actively prioritizing stuff that makes us happier, to the extent possible, to the extent that we are able to, like, navigate and manage within our own lives, right? So what that looks like in our own individual lives is up for grabs. It varies from person to person, from family to family, from community to community. But joy is so crucial. So we talked of safety, sustenance, nurturing, joy. What of health? Health and healing, right? As someone who considers himself, very arrogantly, I might add, obviously, a healer, health is crucial. We have a responsibility to be healthy ourselves to the extent possible, because we have to, like, ensure that we live to fight another day, to ensure that we live to, like, do what we can to sustain our communities and our loved ones another day, but to ensure that we have healthy environments, healthy spaces, to the degree that we can, to the best of our ability. It varies so much based on poverty, based on where we are socioeconomically, based on the stresses we face. But to the greatest degree, we always try and prioritize health, right? Eating right, trying to exercise, making sure that, like, we live in as healthy ways as possible. And all of the rest, like having joy, having safety, sustenance, nurturing, etc., all contribute to that. And finally, this final point, which is sort of a more spiritual point, is the idea of empowerment. Empowerment. We have to, it's easy for men to empower themselves. We live in a society where, like, society just empowers us just by default, right? But what does empowerment look like as a community, as a family? How do we empower ourselves both as individuals and as a collective? And how do we do that in an egalitarian way? This does actually mean, and I've got a call that is 90 seconds left, and this does actually mean that men take a step back very crucially, I think, like, you know, in terms of, like, power, because in that beautiful word, empowerment, is a really nasty word, power. Right, and that is that entity, that notion of power gets so corrupted and so despicable with men continuing their sort of the patriarchal gender roles, and that needs to be challenged. And when in doubt, we listen to the warrior goddesses in our lives. For me, that's first and foremost my partner. It started off with my mother, but it's now my partner, it's my mother, it's my various sisters across the world, it's my friends across the world. The more I listen to them, the better it gets, is where I would like to end today's podcast. So remember, we can uphold our responsibilities to loved ones. And I think it begins with fighting internalized patriarchy. It begins by ensuring safety, it ensures sustenance, ensures nurturing, joy, health, and empowerment for us, for our loved ones. You can hear more about me. My name is Sri. Check me out at loveliberationstruggle.wordpress.com. That's loveliberationstruggle.wordpress.com. See you next week.